This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we didn't start the fire, but Nikita Zadorov did with those comments, and we certainly have been discussing them, and I cannot wait for our next guest to weigh in on those and other things, and that is Mike Milbury.
Yeah, other things. First, other things. Are we really more advanced than the people that put the pyramids up? I mean, we got some bald-headed Russian guy bombing people in the Ukraine, killing people all over the place. The Middle East blows up because the whatever they are, the Hamas, people come in and slaughter people at a concert. We're more advanced.
Can I get the sponsors in?
I don't know. I was kind of hot there for a while, wasn't I?
Jackson said he felt like you were ornery this morning.
Well, yeah, because Shime never has me on the right. It's either two, three, four, these access points. I never know. It's like a guessing game, for Christ's sake.
Okay,
Give me one number, and let me take care of that.
No, that was my fault. I had two up on the board.
Again, your fault.
My bad.
Mike Milbury is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, by FindMassMoney.gov, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow, and by Timeout Market. Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. What did you make of what Nikita Zadorov said post-game the other night about Jeremy Swayman?
Okay, I want to start at the beginning, though, because I thought that Jeremy Swayman was one of the rocks, the foundations of the franchise. And I've believed that, and I still believe that he could be. But right now, there's a sizable crack in it. I don't know what happened. Perhaps it's a couple things. I mean, the contract was getting to that was terrible. It was a mistake by management, and then it was a mistake by Swayman, who started to talk like he was a businessman, and we're going to do this. Just get the only thing you want in a contract negotiation if you're a player is get the most goddamn money you can. Don't tell me about your fighting for the union and the future of the players. Happy horse manure.
Right.
I mean, so, you know, this guy was technically sound. Concentration, excellent. I mean, excellent. He athletic only when necessary. And that's a good thing because you can't outquick a puck. So if you have to be athletic and you're falling, there's a scramble. He had that. And he looked like he was going to be the number one goalie for a decade. And now it's Swiss cheese. I mean, I don't know why what's happened to him. Like he's makeable shots, makeable saves are now frustrating for him. And I could see why, you know, his teammates could be feeling the pressure. Because
so do you think guys resent the holdout and the money that he got and the fact that he's not playing at the level that he should be based on that money and based on holding out for it? Is that what you're...
I'm not in the locker room, but yeah. I think that has to be a concern. I don't know if they like him. I don't know if he's a likable guy. And that really, that sucks. Because if you put yourself into a quagmire like that, you better be really good. We had a goaltender way back when, Pete Peters, who in 1983 was just, he stopped everything. He was kind of, and I like Pete, don't get me wrong, but he was a different cat from Western Canada and farmland out there, and who knows what was going through his mind half the time. But, you know, he talked with a slow drawl, but he stopped the puck. You can do anything you want if you stop the puck. But when you stop being invincible as a goaltender and you start saying stuff that people are questioning or threatening to fight a goaltender from the other end of the ice when you really, I don't know what he was doing there, but it was just like ridiculous. And now I have no idea how this is going to get solved. I only can hope that the reset button works in September, because it needs to work if they have to fill this void. You know, Korpisalo has been much better than I thought he would be, but he's not the answer in the long run. Swayman was supposed to be the answer, and I think he still can be, but somebody needs to punch him in the nose. Now, and I'm not talking about Zadorov. Yeah. I'm talking about Neely or Sweeney or Joe Sacco, and I'm not getting that. This guy needs to straighten up, get a spine, and find out that his teammates are the most important things, not with the words that he says, because I've read the stuff that he said that says, you know, I'm all about my black and gold teammates. Just shut up. Stop the puck.
Don't you think more than just coaching, though, there needs to be a player to get him in line? Like, is that player Charlie McAvoy?
It's not Nikita Zadorov, who can't get out of his own way on a lot of nights. I mean, he's been a little better lately because he's hit some people. But, yeah, maybe a player or two, but I don't know that they have a player on that team now that can do it. I don't know that they have a player that has the stature that can do it. I mean, McAvoy being hurt and fairly young, I don't know. But I do know that it has to be resolved, and he has to get back on track, or this team now has another problem adding to the myriad of problems that they have already that they have to solve.
But don't players, Mike, support other players getting money? Like, isn't that an issue within the room that other players would be complaining? That if you think Swayman got overpaid, I mean, I guess, but Ullmark got the exact same deal right after, so my guess is they are happy. Most players are happy he set the market where he did. And players like Pasternak and Zadorov would sound like total frauds bitching about a guy getting his max value.
I don't think the money was an issue, but the way he handled the whole negotiations and the, you know, I'm doing this for the brotherhood, that kind of stuff, that stuck in my craw. I thought it was like, just let your agent do the talking and take and sign, you know, get the check and put it in the bank. He didn't need to go through that kind of hullabaloo, as far as I was concerned.
Did Neely have to publicly chastise him?
No, he didn't. And I thought from the beginning they should have signed this guy before they signed Ullmark and avoided all this drama, and it's led to what, you know, it started the snowball rolling, and it's led to this. And it's now become a major issue in the clubhouse and on the ice.
Mike, I think one of the biggest things for me where this all went left is when guys like Marchand were chiming in on what he was doing for his contract. And I don't think it's right for any player to question a guy's motives on how he goes to get his money.
Even if his holdout is hurting your team getting ready for the season.
And I think a holdout is a player's leverage on him to get his money, but it's about the organization to pay him his fair value, so there isn't a holdout. How do you feel like as a player talking about other players' money?
It's not good. It's not positive. And you know what? It also speaks to the question, you know, the kind of elephant in the locker room right now is this guy not likable? You know, Marchand doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would go out of his way to, like, you know, bitch about a guy looking for extra money. I don't think he wants to be his team player and all that kind of stuff, Marchand. And I admit that maybe he stepped out of line here, but I'm worried about the fact that this guy is a little bit of a dink.
And you're tied down to him for 8 years or whatever.
Well, yeah, you are. You're tied down to him, but you weren't supposed to be tied down to him. You were supposed to be in bed with him. And now it looks like a eek. Saturday morning doesn't look so good.
No, I was going to say, Mike, isn't this, and I say it's clearly, clearly put on the shoulders of Sweeney and Cassidy. They should have got the deal done long before they were supposed to. And
you
if they
keep trying to do that, but
if they would have done that, we wouldn't be here.
Well,
I'm asking Mike,
would the players still be a dink though?
Let me ask you this, Mike: did DiPietro? Were you there? Was there a holdout with him?
Yeah, well, it's a whole different ball of wax. He was at the end of his entry level contract. He was making $1 million a year, and he had played okay, not great, but okay. But he was just an emerging player, and I thought, okay, we're going to do a bridge contract, and I thought, okay, $1.25 million, $1.4 million, whatever it might be, something somewhat reasonable. So. But the owner, Charles Wong, came in and said, you know, I want to make him an offer of $1.5 million, but tell him we're going to reduce it by $50,000 a day while he doesn't take it. So it happened to be Bobby Orr's company that was the representative of DiPietro. So I gave him the offer, and he was like, they were really not happy. And so we started to take down the offer day by day, but it was only one day. Because I was supposed to go to dinner with Charles on the second day after he proposed this affair. And he said to me before the dinner, he said, we signed DiPietro. I said, we signed DiPietro? He said, yeah. He said, well, we signed him. Well, I signed him. And I said, how much did we pay him? And it was like $2 million. And I said to him, you know, Charles, you just pulled the rug out from underneath my feet. Who's ever going to believe me? They're just going to go to you from now on. That was the end of our relationship, but I was...
Well, how do you fix this?
How do I fix this? Well, I'm getting that kid in a room. I'm getting the kid in the room with his goaltending coach and his agent and maybe his parents. I don't give a okay. Yeah. I don't care. This guy has to get it straight. He doesn't say the right things. He needs to grow up. He needs to be appreciative of what he's got and what they've given him. And I think he needs to be held accountable and responsible, and his teammates need to cut him some slack. And most of all, the guy needs to play better. Even if the team in front of him has been decimated, and let's face it, it's been decimated, he can be better than this. He knows how to stop a puck from a shot from a wide angle that he's missing now on the blocker side where you just have to punch it out. It's not, those things are going in now. It's kind of embarrassing.
Tougher negotiation, Ken or DiPietro?
Jesus. Well, Ken doesn't negotiate. He just dictates.
That's the end thing. He's like Kim
Jong-un. Here it is. I mean, we don't have any more money than that, Mike. You've been on for 3 or 4 years now, but I don't really care. Just take what we give you or go away.
Well, Mike, we love having you here, and we will talk to you again next week. And thank you for, as always, for being here.
All right, kids.
All right.
See ya.
Mike Milbury. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you think Swayman is not liked and has been the issue for the most of this season?
Well, clearly there are people who don't like him because of how he went about doing his contract. I don't know.
Is that the only reason, or is he just not a guy that they?
If that's
saying he went to business school was not a great line. I'll give you that.
Right,
I forgot about that.
Right. So, and it seems like it's all based around contracts.
Did
stuff.
He say Wharton, Curtis?
No, Tuck.
Okay.
Whether it's that saying he went to business school or, like, you know, here's what the brotherhood is, it's all based around contracts. So initially, we know Marchand, and we don't know how many other guys in that dressing room or that locker room were like, we don't like this, we don't like what he's saying, we don't like how he's going about negotiating. So it's all based around contract. And then there might be some other guys who are like...
What was, remind my old brain, the Marchand comment was essentially... This is not the way we don't negotiate publicly, or I don't negotiate publicly, or Bruins don't negotiate publicly.
So it really wasn't. I mean, I think we're blowing it out of proportion once again when it comes to Brad Marchand, where we're saying that he was criticizing him for wanting more money.
Yeah, he was, though.
But he was saying he does it all behind closed doors. Right, he doesn't make it a big scene in front of the media.
Yeah,
but it's not his right to comment on what his teammates trying to do with their contract. just support him and say, hey, listen, how you know, we support Jeremy and he deserves every penny that he gets.
How would Marchand feel if somebody bitched about how he was negotiating with Sweeney before he was traded?
Right. He'd be upset.
I mean, he'd be upset about it.
God.
All right. We got to take a break. Coming up, it is a Celtics Wednesday, and we will talk Celtics with Mego in 15 minutes at 9.